with me to for Thessalonians tonight. Good to have my nephew here tonight. He's here to be my sister. Yep, we prayed tonight for my sister going for surgery tomorrow, and he's here to be with her, and we're all praying, and we want to pray that Lord help her and be with her. But just pray for the family, pray for all the things that's going on. So Brother Ken's going to take a prayer request in a few minutes, but here the theme of prayer tonight. He says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it just starts out, and it says, "But the times and season, brethren, you know, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And it's amazing, that as closer we get to the Lord coming back, the less prayers that we pray, the less that we do pray. And we the Bible never commands you. These glasses I got, man, they're thick or something. But the Bible never tells you to pray to be rich. It never tells you that. It never tells you to, just pray God give you money. God said, the Bible says, "But our God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians chapter 4. But it never prays. I always say this. I've heard Doc say it. He said, pray God give you $1 million. And if he gives you $1 million, maybe he can trust you with it. But he hadn't given none of us $1 million. He probably can't trust us with it. But this is the end time. But it says, time and season, brethren, you have no right on you for yourself. No perfect day of the Lord, it so cometh the thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, for sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, but at that day should overtake you as a thief. You are of the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. And here we are in the Laodicean period. And, you read about the Laodicean church. The Lord's beating on the door. Everybody's inside. You say, what are they doing? They're probably sleeping. Probably in there asleep and not paying attention about the Lord's coming back and being aware of those things. And that's why Jesus came to his disciples. He said, watch and pray, lest you enter in temptation. Watch and pray. And he comes back, and he says, and they were asleep. And that we're the same way, man. We're the exact same way. You know what happens when you get sleepy? You don't care about what anybody's saying. That's the way people are in church. Half asleep, they don't care what anybody's saying. They don't listen. And they're just kind of like, when is it going to be over? When is it going to be over? That's the way people are. You know, Wednesday night, that's the smallest crowd. I mean, I told somebody that, I said, since it's raining, there's going to be a lot less people here tonight. And there is. But people just, and then what happens is, like Brother Jim, I walked in and said, how's your week? He said, tired. And, the Bible talks about the devil wearing out the saints. I mean, we're so busy that sometimes I feel like I'm spinning wheels, not going anywhere. We're just going through the process. We have meetings. We have the ladies' meeting. We have all these meetings we're preparing for and all that. And that's good. It's good things when we see people getting encouraged and stuff like that. But it just seemed like, I just got calls today and text messages. People are needing money or people need a place to live. And but they call me for me to meet the need rather than going to God. They want me to meet the need, not God. And, I said, man, I got enough trouble myself, man. I don't need you. I got enough problems going on. And it says, let us, ye are the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober, sober-minded. You got to keep your mind stayed on him. If not, man, you get wandering. When your mind gets wandering, you're in trouble. When my mind gets wandering, it gets trouble. It's trouble. And that's why Brother Joe was preaching a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, and he asked me years ago, and I remembered him when he said it. He said, how come you stay busy? I said, because, I need to stay busy. Keep you out of trouble. If you stay busy, you keep you out of trouble. People have got a lot of time on their hands. They end up in trouble. It says, for they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Thank God. But he will bring some wrath on us at times. but to obtain salvation by Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. We're edifying each other by being here tonight. And like, who was it that preached the other day? Said, when you're not here, you're not encouraging nobody. We was at Chick-fil-A tonight. This young lady I haven't seen in a good long time, and she came here, got saved, and she's waiting on us. She said, I'll be in church Sunday, preacher. And I hadn't seen her in a long time. We used to pick her up on the bus, and I hadn't seen her in a long time. I thought, wow, what a blessing. She came over to tell us again that she's going to be here Sunday. Watch her not show up. But anyway. I believe their intentions is real. I believe that they want to do right. He said, yeah, she said the good thing about it, she had worked for Chick-fil-A, she gets off on Sunday. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you, that over you in the Lord, and admonish you, to esteem them very highly in the love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. But now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, comfort the feeble-minded. See that none render evil to evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. When's the last time you've seen Christians rejoicing? Always, you know, a lot of times you think they're drunk when they come up and they're happy. You think they're drunk. And yes, that's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. But rejoice. You say, in my state, you don't know what I'm going through. Rejoice. Rejoice evermore. That's the command. Pray without ceasing. There I wanted to get to. Pray without ceasing. That means, man, you're just constantly talking to God. I mean, when you're working, when you're praying for brothers and sisters in Christ, asking God to help them, I try to do that. I really do. I try to pray. I try to pray for people. When I think about them, I try to pray for them. It says, pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People that are not thankful are not praying. People that are not thankful are not praying. Quench not the spirit. You quench the spirit by being unthankful. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body, all three, be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's as faithful as he that called you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That's one thing we don't do. I had a guy get mad at me because I said, no, I don't want nobody coming up kissing me, no man, or even another woman other than my wife. But I've had people come up and kiss me on the cheek, preachers and stuff like that, and I know they didn't mean nothing by it. If I thought they meant something by it, I would say something. I had a guy get upset because in some cultures that's how they greet each other. Now in Germany, did they do that in Germany? They don't do that in Germany. Italy, Switzerland, you were from Sicily, right? They do that in Sicily. They go up and kiss each other. And, you know, that's like the mafia. They will always kiss you before they killed you. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Yeah. Now, back in that day, brother, you know why you kiss somebody on the cheek, brother, or something, because you never know if he's going to make it through the next time. Showing him you loved him. You don't know if the guy was going to live to the next, you know, month. I charge you by the Lord Jesus, this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. Grace be unto you. Talking about prayer. Jesus commanded his disciples to pray. And we're supposed to be praying. He said, my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. And I know that's Jewish, but still we can apply it to our own lives if we'll pray. And here we are, Brother Mike Roberts asking for prayer. The missionaries, we got a prayer. I sit up here sometimes. I watch, see who goes back and reads those letters. You know who reads those letters most of the time? Other missionaries. Other missionaries that go by that board. That board's put up there for the church. And I watch people go by there and just never look up, never look at it. I try to read the prayer letters, pray for them. That's why we started reading the prayer letters from the pulpit so people would hear because people don't take the time to stop and look at it and pray for people. And that's why we pray for missionaries. But, you know, it's important. Prayer is important. Who was it? Bob Jones Sr. said every failure in life is a prayer failure because people didn't pray. And we don't pray. We don't pray. David said in Psalm 55:17, "Evening, morning, at noon, will I pray? Cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." My sister's getting ready to go through a surgery, and I tell you what, she'd appreciate your prayers. And when you're going through a surgery, you're going through some trouble, you appreciate prayers. You definitely do. And a lot of times when things are going good, you say, "Don't pray for me. I'm good." No, even you don't know what's around the corner. Squiggy just came up to me and said that preacher that married his daughter-in-law and brother Gary just got killed. He's 45 years old. And he was pastor, what, in Seaford? He was down in Seaford. And he was operating a crane up in Elkton. A crane turned over. He was going down the road and the steering dropped out, or the tie rod dropped out, and he went into a ditch, flipped over, and they took him an hour to get him out. Died. He was 45 years old. Had a wife and a couple kids, had a church. My man, we better pray. Better pray. Evening, morning, at noon, while I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Sheila, Brother Mark called me the other day, and he says, "We're back." Or he called me joking. I prayed for him while they were going. How many of y'all prayed for Mark and Sheila while they were traveling? Yeah. I prayed for him. I prayed God protect them. Every day I was praying God protect them and keep them safe. And Sheila or Mark called me and said, "Where I'm broke down in Detroit, can you come and get me?" And I had just rode by his house, and I knew he was lying. So, and I said, "You lying thing, you were already home. I know you are. You're a lying dog." And he started laughing. He goes, "Well, yeah, we're home." He said, "But pray for Sheila. We just found out that thing that was on her lip is cancerous. And they cut it out. But they didn't get it all. She's got to go through chemo. Or radiation, I'm sorry. Radiation. And they had to reconstruct her lip today. That's why they're not here tonight." And he said, "I was messing with him." He called me a Chick-fil-A. He said they took a piece of skin out of the back of her ear area and put it on her lip. And I said, "That means she can hear twice as fast as she can talk, and, you know, or she can talk twice as fast as she can hear," or something. I was messing with him like that, you know. But brother, sister, we need to pray. If anything, we've seen so many tragedies around this church. We've seen a lot of things happen, people, and we pray for one another. And I do thank you for being in prayer time, prayer, and we have tonight's missionary offering. I appreciate people that come out and give, and on Wednesday night they're faithful, even though they're tired and wore out and rainy. I told my wife, I said, it's gonna be slim pickings tonight. Bible says in Proverbs 15:8, it says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayers of the upright is his delight." The prayer of the upright. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Look at this. Y'all have seen this before. Matthew 6. And Matthew 6, Jesus, they said, he says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him." And talking about vain repetitions, he's talking about these, look at verse 6. He says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret." My nephew Chris, I never forget, I use it all the time. I could hear him out there in the trailer behind the house crying out, "Father, Father," talking to God. And he would cry out while he prayed. And yeah, Keith did that at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, if I woke up to go to bed or something, I'd listen to it for a few minutes and I'd start crying. Mm-hmm. I knew the Lord was right there with him. You could picture it.
Amen.
Know?
Amen.
It was like, woo.
Now, my sister's husband just left, what, Sunday night? I bet you were doing a lot of praying, weren't you? Yeah. And it says, "Pray us, enter in thy closet." He probably did a lot of crying, too, when he got left. It says, verse 8, it says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know what? People are not praying. They're praying to get rich. They don't pray for the Lord's kingdom to come. And they're not praying, Lord, come on back. Every time we say, I think, Lord, I see the sun, you know, clouds, and then I see the sun peek out, and I say, come on, Lord. Come on. Come on. I'm thinking about that guy can egg him on. Come on. What are you waiting for? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I hope you pray over your food. I hope you get down. I don't care where you're at. Pray over your food. I try to teach the kids that, the grandkids to pray. The grandkids, it tickles me when they're around the table. They always go, can I pray? Can I pray? And we let them all pray if they want to pray. Let them all pray. You say, well, the food will get cold. Who cares? Amen. Teaching them something. Your kids want to pray? Don't say, hey, I'm hungry. Don't shut up. Let them pray. Let them cry out to God. Let them learn how to get a hold of God. That's a good thing. It says, let us give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. And I mean, that's something that people don't pray. God, don't let me fall into temptation. God, deliver us from temptation. God, don't let me get into it. The Bible says God has a way to get us out. It says, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you shall forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And a lot of people holding grudges, holding things in their hearts against other people. God says, hey, man, what about where you've offended me? What about what you've done against me? That's why I try not to ever hold a grudge against anybody. I've had preachers talk about me, and I've had people call me up, and just recently I had people call me up and said, this guy is saying this about you and this and that. I said, I don't care. I mean, I wish he wouldn't, but that's fine. That's what he wants to do. I don't care. I mean, fine. Maybe the Lord will bless me even more for it. It says that you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But go to Revelation chapter 5. Look, here's again. Praying. But there's a lot of verses on prayer. And we here Wednesday night is prayer time. And that's, like I said, the least attended services when we pray. And we take up prayer requests. And a lot of times we try to figure out a better way to take up prayer requests because it seems like it takes up a long time. And then, but Brother Ken and whoever's taking up prayer requests, we try to go through every prayer and pray. I mean, every request and pray for it. Whoever's taking up prayer requests. Other men in this church is taking up prayer requests. So we try to take that time and pray and get a hold of God over these things. But Revelation chapter 5, and where is it? 5, go to verse 6, Revelation 5, 6. And I beheld, lo, in the midst of the throne of the four and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, and having the seven spirits of God sent forth in all the earth. And the Bible tells you what the seven spirit of God are in Isaiah, is wisdom, knowledge, and all that. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And you think about that. Think about the prayers of the saints. Our prayers have a smell to them. And they always say, yeah, it's got the smell, you know, test. And people say, talk about the taste test, the smell test. Our prayers got a smell test to them. And whenever Solomon prayed after he took over the kingdom, he didn't say, God, give me money, give me women, give me this. I wish he wouldn't have had all the women they had, but he prayed, God, give me wisdom to judge your people, to be able to lead them right. And that was the prayer, and that honored the Lord. And God gave him, you know, riches and all power and all that stuff. But prayers, we're not supposed to pray to be rich, not supposed to pray for just for constantly about ourselves. We're supposed to pray for others. And the Bible tells you in Timothy, go to Timothy, and we've looked at this 100 times. 100 times. The Bible tells you in Timothy how to pray and what to pray. And it's Timothy, just popped in my mind. I'll find it here in a second. Supplication prayer be made for all men. That's where it says 2:1 there. I'm in second. No wonder. Yeah, there it is. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I was talking to somebody today about we prayed about something, and God answered that prayer. And I forget what it was. God answered the prayer. You better give God the glory for it, too. When God does something, you better give him the glory for it. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, that's supplies, meeting the need, prayers, intercession. I had a guy call me tonight, and even though the guy irritated me, and really did, it irritated me, because I know what he's done. I prayed with him. It just irritated for him. I told him, I said, I'll get Ken to call you, and he can help you, talk to you. But the guy irritated. I know what he's doing with his money. He's homeless right now. He's wasting his money, gambling. And he said, I'm homeless. I'm living in the car. What can you do to help me? It irritated me. But I prayed with him because that's what I'm supposed to do. And he's the brother in Christ. I want to see him go on. But if I make him, some people might. But anyway, if I just, but yeah, holy kiss. Or holy bite. I exhort, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession be made, intercession given to thanks, there that given to thanks again, be made for all men, for kings, pray for our president, pray for our Congress, pray for our Senate, pray for our country. Can you imagine if our country goes into a civil war over this stupid stuff that's going on? They're talking about that kind of junk. Can you imagine that? I was listening to that Democratic debate last night, and I thought, man, what a bunch of crazy nuts. What a bunch of nuts. And power goes to people's head. And I'm not saying that Trump is not a nut, too. He's a nut, too, but at least he's trying to do something for the country. He loves his country. And these other guys, my. For kings, for all that is in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Can you imagine if this thing went the way, you know, some other countries, what our kids would have to go through, our grandkids? You don't pray for your country? You don't pray for the Bible tells you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for those things. I mean, it'd be terrible to get to heaven and you find out your prayer life was just stunk before God. And God said, man, you could have shook heaven. Who have all men to be saved. When's the last time you prayed that the Lord give you some fruit? God, give me some fruit. People you work with, God, give me a good testimony with them. God, help me to see somebody saved. Just, I've been praying for fruit. I want to see some fruit. And I've been praying for people to get back in. Brother Lee, he always comes on Wednesday night. He always prays that people, our brother and sister out. That's a good prayer request. And we're seeing people come back. Seeing people get back in. It's around October is when people start getting back. I've seen it through the years. I've been here 30-some years. I've been seeing people fall out around May. And then they come back around October. But pray, why don't you pray this, that God, don't let me ever fall out. I don't want to ever fall out. Now, I'm not trying to slap people. I'm just saying, just pray, God, help me not to fall out. Prayer changes things. But if you're not willing to pray, and you're not praying for these things, I mean, even though we pray for them, God can still, but you've got to be the one to start praying too. If the Bible says, well, two or three gather together in his name, there he's in the midst. God wants to answer prayer, and he does answer prayer. And that brother that irritated me tonight, I thought, man, this guy could really do something for God. Man, they could really do something. And that's why I look at people. I think, man, they could really do something. If they just start praying, Lord, use me. Lord, use me for your glory. I watch people come in on Sunday morning, man, they shoot out the door, and they don't shake nobody's hand. They don't want to greet nobody. You know, they don't, why do you want to be private? No, man, when you're bought with a price, you're not your own anymore. You ought to be helping somebody, encouraging somebody. The Bible says, so much the more as we see the day approaching, and exhort one another. Pray for one another. The Bible tells you to do that. It says our prayers, supplication. Revelation 5, did we read that already? Yeah, prayers of the saints. Go to James. James chapter 5. I knew a guy I went to Bible school with. And I've told this story before. Mama, where's Linda at? She in here? She went out.
She's with the baby.
I'm trying to think of his name. This guy, man, we went through Bible class. This guy got Hebrew. He got A's. Greek, he got A's. Everything, A's. I mean, this guy was sharp. He's my visitation partner. And then one day I come home from work and his wife is at my house. And the kids, and Linda's crying. They're crying. And I said, what's going on? He got arrested. I said, what did he get arrested for? He molesting his little stepchild. And a little girl came over to stay the night and tried to molest her. That's how they got him. The guy had the Bible. He memorized the whole book of Romans. Memorized it. And he knew his Bible. But his wife said, I've never seen him pray. Never seen him pray. He ruined that woman's life. He ruined that child's life. People, because they're so selfish, they can ruin everybody's life around them. They don't pray that, Lord, what do you want me to do? God, which way should I go? Lord, help my heart not to be hard. Help me stay soft to you. You just ruin it. Prayer changes things. And Bob Jones Sr. said every tragedy in life was a shortage of prayer. Not that it wasn't that statement, but it says, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another. It's not saying confess your sins. That's where the priests try to get you to use that thing. But confess your faults. Hey, man, I'm weak. You know, I'm weak. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed. And the effectual prayer, that's talking when we have somebody that's sick. Somebody mentioned that we ought to pray over Miss Sheila because they didn't get all the cancer. They're saying she has to go through radiation. We prayed over Miss April. And God's done some great things from April, and he's still going to do it. And there's some things that we've seen the Lord do in a lot of people's lives by praying. If the Lord's will, it'll be done. But he wants us to get in on it, get be a part of it, and believe him, believe that he can do it. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another, that ye may be healed, and the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Pray for our missionaries. Pray for our church. Pray for the leadership. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might find grace and obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. One thing as a pastor, what I've learned, I'm still learning to pray. I'm learning to pray and to try to get hold of God for people, to intercede, to stand between life and death, pray for people. When I was, I went to preach that funeral a couple weeks ago, and Earl called me up and said, they want you to preach. I started praying, Lord God. I said, I don't want to do this, Lord. I've told you this before. I've had to preach babies. You know, I said, I don't want to do this, Lord, but you get the fruit, God. You do something. Use my mouth. I'll do it for you. And you just surrender. It's a constant surrendering of your life and saying, God, use me. Even though I don't want to do this, but I'll do it for you. And pray. If you'll pray, I'll tell you this. When Christians pray, things come out right. They come out right when you pray. Yes, sir. Of James? James 5? James 5:13. It says, if any among you afflicted, let him pray. Any merry, let him sing psalms. That's good. Yeah. And prayer changes things. Like I said, God never told us to pray to be rich. He said, he commands us to tell, to pray. He says, tell, instruct those that are rich in this world, they be not high-minded. Because what happens is money, you start getting money and power, you think, well, I don't need to pray. I got everything I need. Look to, John 9. There's a lot of scripture on prayer. Nehemiah prayed. Solomon prayed. Man, there's so much scripture on prayer. Wednesday night is prayer time, and I'm going to quit here so we can pray and take a prayer request. John 9:31. Back up to verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why herein is the marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes? John 9:30-31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him, look at that, him he heareth. Be a worshiper of God. You know what God did for Job? Job was sitting out there and he was, you know, he still gave God the praise, still worshiped God. And he said, I don't know why, but I'm trusting him. And the Bible says in that all that Job never accused God foolishly. And what happens is a lot of time when things happen in our life, we start accusing God. We might not say it with our mouth, but it's in our heart. And we got to be careful. But it says God doesn't hear sinners. Now, he hears. I thought about this. I thought about when I was a little kid. I remember my mom and dad fighting. That thing came to me, man, just a couple years back. I thought about them fighting out there. And I remember praying as a little kid, saying, God, don't let my mom and dad go to hell. And I wasn't even saved. But I remember praying that. You know what God did? My mom and dad didn't go to hell. They got saved. I got saved. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. But that's talking about Jesus Christ. But there's a whole bunch of things in the Bible. And Christians that pray are successful. The Christians that don't pray, they're not successful. They might be successful in this world, but when it comes to God, they're not successful. So, like I said, God never told us to pray to be rich. He told you to pray for his kingdom to come, for your food. He told you to pray for sinners. He'd make supplication for people. He told you to intercede for people when people are going astray and they start falling by the wayside. The Lord tells you to intercede, make intercession for them. He tells you to do those things for his glory. And there's a bunch of other things we could name the Lord tells you to pray for. So, but hardly ever does he tell you to pray. You know, you need to pray for yourself. I know that. Pray, Lord, don't let me fall. God, don't lead me into temptation. Don't let me fall into temptation. Don't let me fall into temptation. Don't let me get into sin. Help my eyes. Help me be careful what I look at. But for a Christian that doesn't pray, it's not successful. But if you pray, things happen. I want to see things happen. I like seeing things happen. Public prayer is in the Bible. The Pharisees did it for a show. But we're not doing it for a show. We do it when we go to eat, when we in front of people, we pray. And when you pray, Don't sit around to think about finding faults. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than him, and I'm better than her. That shouldn't even enter your mind. That shouldn't enter. You should say, God, they're better than I am. Use them for your glory. If you'll humble yourself, God resists the proud but giveth grace to the humble. If you'll humble yourself, pray, like I said, God will use you. If not, you won't be successful. You won't see fruit. You won't see people getting saved. You don't, people, other Christians, don't even want to be around you. That's those that are trying to do right. So let's pray, folks. Brother Ken, come on ahead and take a prayer request.